Yes, we had fun in Casper. It was a sweet meeting up there. The roads were almost good. And there is a free baby grand antique piano that somebody can have for free in Loveland here. This is the phone number if you want a free baby grand antique piano. It's my old one that I know. Okay, we're in Exodus, Shemot 34, Shalosh Shiva Arba. And we got a couple minutes here. We can go a little farther. And we left off with the great revelation of the who God is, right? With the cleft of the rock experience. And so this is some of the greatest part of the whole Torah and the Tanakh. And so God revealed himself with all the descriptions, the abounding in love and faithfulness and love and slow to anger and the gracious God and the compassionate and the tetragrammaton there, right? And so now we come to 34:10 is my next note that I wanted to deal with. Then Hashem said, I am making a covenant with you before all your people. I will do. And in the NIV, it's wonders. What do y'all have? Marvels. Yes. But in the Hebrew, it's my favorite word, remember? Pella. I will do Pella, which is the wonders of God. These are the things. Pella means beyond understanding, over the top, don't ask, you can't handle it type word. So I love that word because I can handle a lot. Amen. And so I will do Pella, wonders never before done in any nation in all the world. And so we have just had the Exodus, and those were Pella, 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 Pella. And now he's saying more Pella, right? And so this is great. And then the people who live among you will see how. And we have this other Hebrew word that I like. And you may have heard it on a Paul Wilbur tape. It's the Nora word. And this is what gets translated awesome. And our culture abused that word to the point where awesome has no meaning anymore because everything's awesome, so therefore nothing is awesome. But in Hebrew, it is Nora, which is gets translated to awesome word. And awesome comes from being full of awe. And awe is like your jaw drops and you have nothing to say because it's Pella, over the top, beyond understanding, you can't handle it. And so you go, oh, some. You got to love etymology, right? And so we have Pella and awesome, and this is our God. After he reveals how compassionate he is, then we have Pella and awesome, Nora. And then we go down to verse 14, and we have this, do not worship any other gods, for the Lord whose name is, and we have the name of God here, being jealous. What is God's name? There's several that we know, but here his name is jealous. So this is something where, you know, you want to, if he is your God, if Hashem is your God, you need to realize something. He don't like to share. He don't like you mixing him with any other bad stuff. I was be polite with my language. He is a jealous God. His name is jealous. Why? It tells you. Because he is jealous. He is a jealous God. So he loves you. We already saw the compassionate, abounding love, loving to forgive, and merciful, and all these words up here, chesed. And then he says, I am a jealous God, and he's talking about you. He is jealous for you. So you're engaged. We're not married yet, but you are engaged to somebody that you don't want to tick off in this area. You shall not date any other God, or the wrath of this jealous God could fall on your head, right? Isn't this a great revelation of the who he is? I wish the church would deal with this a little more. Okay, this revelation in the cleft of the rock is at the beginning of Israel's history. And I want to make this point comparison to the end of history. And this is what I wanted to do, and this is all we'll get to today, I imagine, is go to Yoel, Nevi Yoel, and Shtaim, chapter 2. And Nevi Yoel is the prophet Joel, right? And Joel is talking about the day of the Lord and the end of Israel's history. Now, we know that the end of Israel's history is, as far as this dispensation and this age, is now. Because it is at the end of Israel's history that he regathers them to the land so they can be saved and have the kingdom. So in Joel chapter 2, so it is your time. Okay, it starts that way and it ends. And I just want to make a comparison here, because in Yoel's eschatology, in 17b, we have some same similar things here mentioned. Okay, do not make your inheritance an object of scorn, a byword among the nations. Why should they say among the people, where is their God? This is the same argument Moshe used in chapter 34 of Exodus, when God was going to exterminate Israel and start over. And Moshe argues with him, the Moses Matrix. And so here we have the same thing Joel's saying at the end of Israel's history, the same thing that Moshe said at the beginning of Israel's history. Why would the nations want to say that? See, so preserve your inheritance. So then in verse 18, it says, then the Lord will be jealous. We have the jealous word here. And what is he jealous for? His land and his people. Okay, so you can put yourself in that people part there. But first, it's always first is the land. The land is always first. And this is why you are a Zionist. Okay, verse 20. This is interesting because of the Exodus that we just had in Exodus. I will drive the northern army far from you, pushing it into the parched and barren land with its front columns going into the sea. What does that sound like? The enemies of Israel going into the sea, and those in the rear into the western sea. And its stench will go up, its smell will rise. The Egyptian soldiers were on the bank. This was what armed Israel. Then when they continued on, is all the weapons of the Egyptian army are on the bank, and the bodies are stinking. Whew. Okay. So that's verse 20. Oh, then it says, surely the Lord has done great things. Surely the Lord has done great things. And this is Gedolah there, and which is great or large. So we have the parallel to Pella. Okay, so now go to verse 26. I'm just showing you how Joel, talking about the last days, is so similar to how Israel started. In verse 26, it says, you will have plenty to eat until you're full, and you will praise the name of the Lord your God who has worked Pella, who has worked Pella for you, right? Pella for you. So as their history begins, so it ends, and as Joel ends, the Lord dwells in Zion, the land. The Lord will come and dwell, just like Moshe was face-to-face then, so now all Israel and you will be face-to-face here in the last days. Then in chapter 4, as Mike mentioned, we have in verse 19, it says, but Egypt will be desolate, Edom will be a desert waste because of violence done to the people of Yehuda, in whose land they shed. And this is how we left off last week. Innocent blood. And that word innocent is the Nakar word, right? That we talked about last week. That word that got kind of left out in most translations in the revelation of who Messiah or who Hashem was there. And it is the word that means innocent, and as we saw last week, also means freedom. Innocent and freedom, right? So I think that's where we left off, and so we will be ready for all this as it takes place, panim la panim, in our faces. Okay, so let me say, lately we've given a lot of offering to our Shomron friends. thank you, but it seems like we had a run on the real Jews coming here, and we still, everybody got at least $2,000 when they came. And that was the smallest offering we gave anybody. And even last week when Eliezer Braun was here, he got $2,400, I think. That Debbie Kellogg's meeting that was here last week, some of you came for that. And he kept carrying on about how 25, 30 years ago at Rez, when we danced, that he was amazed at our dancing, and he's never forgotten it. So he kept interrupting his message to talk to me and the dancers, and it wasn't even our meeting. But anyway, it was fun having him here, right? All right, and he had a soldier with him. Okay, so, but anyway, in Joel 3, God enters into judgment against those that divide his land. This is one of our verses that we use. The people that try to divide Israel up, which is most of the world right now, the White House, the UN especially, they're wanting to create a two-state, which means give back the land to the Arabs. Even though the Arabs have a million times more space, they want Israel, which is only twice the size of Weld County, to give up half of their land because they're the Jews, right? But anyway, Hashem here says in Joel 3 that God enters into judgment against these people that are trying to divide the land. Maybe we should get one of those planes that fly around with the banner behind it and says, if you support the two-state solution, God will judge you. I mean, something. I mean, hello, people. What has happened to the world? There was a lady from rural Romania in the store yesterday. And she was talking to me about the evils of socialism, because she grew up in Romania, which was socialistic, atheistic. And there was a church there, but the government ran the church, so you couldn't have any praise and worship, and you couldn't evangelize, you couldn't preach the gospel. And she goes, all the good stuff happened in secret, and if you got caught, you'd go to jail. And she goes, this country's doing that. What? How can a socialist run for president? And I go, don't get me started. And she goes, don't get me started. And she starts talking about the evils of socialism, anti-God. And like we hear that all the time from the twin. And from my mom when I was young, better dead than red. Hello. And then she started talking about, why do you have a Muslim president?
Yeah, exactly.
She's from Romania. She knows about the Ottoman Empire. She goes, the Ottoman Empire murders. And now you embrace it in this country. And I go, don't get me started. She goes, don't get me started. But yes. And so I like this lady. She still had a brain. And I just told her, there's no understanding how this can happen to this country. There's just, my twin says it's a spirit from hell that has given these people delusion. And that's the only way you can explain it, because they're not stupid people. They're deluded people. Anyway, Joel 3, enter into judgment against those specifically that divide the land of Israel. And so what I wanted to say about our offerings for people in the Shomron here recently is that your offering and your support and your prayers and your love will result in the opposite of judgment for you. The opposite of judgment for you. You will be blessed and you will be rewarded, and you will stand face to face of the God of the whole universe, and he'll look into your eye and he'll say, thank you. He'll say, thank you. And everybody on earth will watch him do it. So there is a blessing coming for you because of the who you are. And so I just wanted to thank you for that. Amen. Amen. So we have to stop there. The next thing that we'll deal with next Shabbat is the original, The Shining. As that was filmed up here in Estes, right? In the famous hotel, which is white, kind of shines. But the original Shining was scary. I've never seen it, actually. This is the original Shining, and it also caused fear. We're talking about Moshe comes down from the mountain, and his face has rays of light beaming out of it, and Israel is scared. So this is, like I say, all drama comes from the Bible. Hollywood just rewrites it to try to keep it going. Okay, so that is the Jack Nicklaus movie. Will be next week's message. And we will discuss something that I never knew about until Jonathan Sattel told me this. He went to Europe somewhere, and as a Jew, singing. And when he arrives at this ancient Orthodox kind of church, they looked at his forehead and they said, "So you can't see where the horns used to be?" Have you ever heard of this? Yeah. It has been taught throughout the Dark Ages, the Middle Ages, that Jews all had horns. And it comes from this text. And I'll show you how that happened and how utterly ridiculous church history has been. Amen. And if you want to come on Friday nights, we'll start into the seven churches, and you'll really have to carry a bag like in the front seat of the airplane. One of those bags for air sickness, you'll need one of those when we start talking about church history, because it will make you sick. All right, but that's okay, because I have been in a vision cleaning the carpets. And then for your homework, though, since we are in a school, you can see how Rav Shaul compares Exodus adventure with Moses' face shining in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We will have to go by there also. Amen. So are you happy? Yes, you are, and you're blessed. Hallelujah. And you are continuing on, and you will be greatly rewarded. And there's an Israel trip coming, and Messiah is coming, and the victorious Broncos are coming. And I thought the game was over already. I just, goodness gracious. Oh, man. But I love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for keeping this place going. Oh, man. Yavarekka Adonai v'yish mereka. Ye'ir Adonai panaveleka v'chunecha. Yisa Adonai panaveleka v'yoseim leka shalom b'shem. Yeshua HaMashiach, Sar HaShalom, Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you and make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you and lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of the Prince of Peace, Jesus the Messiah, Amen and Amen. Shabbat Shalom.